This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And today, we're going to be talking about aliens from outer space. What will they look like once we encounter them? How will they communicate? How will they interface with our civilization? Because of the fact that we've already discovered 4,000 exoplanets circulating around other stars in the galaxy. And we're going to find thousands more in the coming years. So with us today is Professor Eric Kirschenbaum. He's professor of zoology at Cambridge University. And he's the author of an exciting new book called The Zoologist's Guide to the Galaxy, What Animals on Earth Reveal About Aliens and Ourselves. So we're going to talk about how a zoologist views life in outer space. But before we begin, let me make a short announcement. And that is, I have a book coming out in about 2 weeks on April 6th. The book is called The God Equation, The Quest for the Theory of Everything. And it's about what I do for a living. I work on what is called the Unified Field Theory, the theory that eluded Einstein for the last 30 years of his life, the theory of everything. An equation, maybe no more than 1 inch long, that will unify all the laws of the universe. And I like to tell my friends, if you want to win a Nobel Prize in physics, if you want to go down as the next Albert Einstein, then why don't you come up with an equation, maybe no more than 1 inch long, that will do three things. One, unify Einstein's theory of gravity with two, the quantum theory and the standard model, and three, in a theory that is finite. If you could do those three things, then you will be heralded as the next Albert Einstein. And by the way, if you ever find that equation, be sure to tell me first. And we'll publish together, and we'll win the Nobel Prize money together as a team, okay? And so once again, is it possible that there is one unifying theme, one equation that summarizes the entire universe? Well, the leading candidate, which is very controversial, is something called string theory. String theory is what I do for a living. I'm a co-founder of string field theory, which is one of the main branches of string theory. And, of course, how do you test a theory of everything? Well, find out by getting a copy of my latest book. The book is called The God Equation, The Quest for the Theory of Everything. The quest to find an equation which summarizes all of biology, all the laws of chemistry, all the laws of physics, into a single equation no more than 1 inch long. Just like E equals mc squared is an equation half an inch long, and it unlocked the secret of the stars. Einstein wanted another equation even more powerful than that, and he spent 30 years of his life chasing after it, but unfortunately he failed. Well, to find out more about it, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or go to Facebook. We have 4 million fans on Facebook, and find out what all the excitement is about. Well, today, once again, we have with us Eric Kirschenbaum, professor of zoology at Cambridge University, author of an exciting new book called The Zoologist's Guide to the Galaxy. Who would have thought that a zoologist would be able to talk to us today about what alien life may look like throughout the galaxy? The subtitle is, What Animals on Earth Reveal About Aliens and Ourselves. Well, the first question for you is, when you were a kid, What sparked your interest in science and eventually zoology?
When I was young, interesting story is that there were two careers that interested me. I mean, I was fascinated with animals from a young age, as many children are. And I also wanted to be a rocket scientist. And those were the two sort of careers that appealed to me with childish impracticality. But in fact, that's pretty much what I've done in reality. And so approaching the zoological questions from a more of a physical science background and from the perspective of a more mathematical perspective as well, which leads to a lot of the stuff that I talk about in the book.
So what steered you in the direction of zoology?
But animals are incredibly appealing. Okay, there's no one who doesn't like animals, and there's something about animals that it raises a lot of questions. You know, why are we different from them? Are we different from them? Most people and certainly young kids will look at animals playing and think, well, they're kind of just like us. And that's not just a childish misconception. There's a lot that we have in common with animals, and there's a lot of the same processes going on that lead to our behavior and lead to animal behavior. And that really forms a bond between us that I think a lot of people pick up on.
Now, when we talk about the science of alien life in outer space, we have the giggle factor. People start to giggle, their eyes kind of roll up into the heavens, and they kind of shake their head, and they say, this is crackpot science fiction. This is Hollywood stuff. This is not science. So how can you approach the science of aliens, given the fact that we have yet to encounter them, when we're deluged with all these images from Hollywood of little green men with big eyes? What are your thoughts?
Well, there was a giggle factor 20 years ago, and now the situation has really changed. Now that we are aware that there are billions of Earth-like planets in this galaxy, the estimate now is that there's probably, on average, like one Earth-like planet for every star in the galaxy. So the existence of life on other planets seems almost certain, almost certain. That means that are obliged to start thinking about what that life might be like, what complex life might be like on these planets. It's not enough just to think about what chemistry they may be made of. But if complex life exists on other planets, it will exist in the context of an ecosystem. There will be interacting organisms. There will be animals eating other animals and eating plants and so on. And these are questions that I don't think we can hold off thinking about any longer, even if we haven't discovered them yet.
Now, on Earth, we have a unifying principle, evolution, and we see the evolution of life, the tree of life with all the different branches. Do you think, therefore, that that's the unifying principle of life in outer space, evolution?
As far as we know, evolution is the biological equivalent of those fundamental physical theories that you were talking about before. It's the only way that we understand that life could come to exist, because life is complex. Even the simplest forms of life, even the smallest bacteria, is incredibly complex. And the only way that complexity can accumulate in an organism is through small steps, through retaining the useful features and discarding the useless ones. No form of life just pops into existence by coincidence. So it's really through this slow, gradual process of accumulating complexity that life can exist. And this will be true on every planet where life exists.
Okay, well, let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue with discussion of The Zoologist's Guide to the Galaxy by Professor Eric Kirschenbaum. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or give us a call at 612-564-8135. And maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Stay tuned as we talk about aliens in outer space.
Yeah. You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
If you've been following the markets, then you know how huge the automation markets are becoming. Robotics, autonomous cars, and enterprise automation services are revolutionizing entire industries. The bottom line is that automation is powering the future. And you can find out which companies are leading the charge with your free subscription to AvidBiotech.Trends when you text the word trend to 48542. We've identified a cutting-edge company that's leading the industry in creating the next generation of robotics and automation. Get this cutting-edge intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device when you text the word TREND to 48542. Get ahead of the curve on robotics and automation industry leaders with your free research from biotech.trends. Text the word TREND to 48542. Text TREND to 48542. Text the word TREND to 48542.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Eric Kirschenbaum of Cambridge University, and he's the author of a new book, Zoologist's Guide to the Galaxy, What Animals on Earth Reveal About Aliens and Ourselves. So let's talk about how aliens may, first of all, communicate with each other. On Earth, we have the porpoise and animals that are aquatic. Some of them use sonar to communicate with, or for that matter, take a look at bats. They navigate with sonar. And take a look at dogs. Dogs have a tremendous sense of smell. Their brain is, of course, dominated by smells that swirl around them. And we, on the other hand, we Earthlings communicate in a much different way. So what are your thoughts about how aliens may communicate?
Well, there's different ways of communicating, different channels or media by which you can send messages, and not that many of them. You can communicate by sound, you can communicate by light, you can communicate by smells, by chemicals, you can communicate with electric fields. There are a few species of animals that do that on Earth, not many, but pretty much every way of communicating, every communication channel that is physically possible has been used on Earth. There's one that hasn't. We don't know any animals that use magnetic communication. But pretty much every other way of communicating has been exploited by animals on Earth. in very different ways, it's true. But the constraints on what communication channel works well and what doesn't are essentially physical constraints. So if you live in a cloudy, muddy river, or in a dense jungle, then using light to communicate is probably not the best way to do it. So the choice of communication channel depends very much on the environment. And this is something that we can predict from knowing what the environment is. There are many planets that are predicted to have hurricane-force winds blowing on them, in which case both sound and smell are probably not the best way to communicate.
Okay, well, the big question, the $64,000 question that everyone wants to ask is, what do they look like? Do they look like the little green men that we see on TV and in the movies, or does evolution give us a totally different set of physical features for intelligent aliens in outer space? So the question is, what are they going to look like?
So the disappointing answer to that is a lot of what life looks like, a lot of what animals look like, is largely coincidence. So we have four limbs because our fish-like ancestor had four fins, and it crawled out of the sea on those four fins. It could have had six, it could have had eight, and then we would have ended up with six limbs or eight limbs. So many of these features are actually coincidences that are very difficult to predict. Some of them are not coincidences. So the fact, for instance, that our ancestor had an even number of limbs is for an extremely good reason. So our bodies, like the bodies of almost all animals on Earth, are symmetrical. We have a left side and a right side. And that was a fundamental evolutionary advance that made movement much more efficient. So things like symmetry, things like a left-handed side and a right-hand side, are things that we're likely to see on a lot of alien creatures. But then other things like color and the details of how many limbs they might have, these are much more down to the chance and coincidence in evolution.
Okay, also let me ask you a question that may or may not be in your book. But, you know, the dinosaurs were the dominant species on the planet Earth for 200 or so million years, much longer than Homo sapiens, yet not a single one. Not a single dinosaur, to our knowledge, became intelligent, or will be considered intelligence. And why is that? Is intelligence overrated in the animal kingdom? The dinosaurs had plenty of opportunity to evolve into an intelligent species, but not a single one did it. Is it that intelligence is simply not necessary to survive in the jungle? What are your thoughts?
Well, of course, intelligence is necessary, and in fact, all animals have intelligence. Intelligence is the ability to solve problems. And the very nature of animals, in that animals have to chase after their food, they have to get energy from something that's trying to get away from them. It's a problem, and it means that animals will evolve intelligence to deal with that problem, how to ambush their prey and how to escape their predators. So all animals are intelligent, including dinosaurs. But the question of why dinosaurs did not evolve a technological intelligence like humans have is a very difficult one to answer. The one thing that I will suggest is that if you look at the history of life on Earth, we see increasing complexity, increasing diversity. The ecosystem has become more and more and more diverse for about the last 300 million years. And it's probably likely that a certain level of ecological complexity was necessary before there was a real advantage to the kind of intelligence that our primate ancestors had. And the world of the dinosaurs may just have been a little bit too simple for them to need the kind of intelligence that we see in primates today.
Now, some zoologists have said that to become human intelligent, you need about three things. First, you need some kind of grasping instrument like a hand, claw, tentacle, or whatever, to manipulate the environment. Then eyesight of some sort in order to have hand-eye coordination. Hand-eye coordination gives you the ability to manipulate tools. And then language, because you want to carry information from one generation to the next generation, some sort of language. Now, in the animal kingdom, what animal has the most sophisticated language and hand-eye coordination? And as far as we can tell, I guess the dinosaurs never had it. The dinosaurs, to our knowledge, never had a language, or at least a language that we know about. They probably had some sort of hand-eye coordination. But what are your thoughts? Maybe intelligence is rarer than we think, because how many animals have a language and hand-eye coordination? Very few. But what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's actually, I think things actually go in the opposite direction. What we understand is we evolved intelligence almost, we evolved language almost certainly because of our social intelligence, because we lived in large groups, because we had to manage with a lot of neighbors. When you have a large group of primates and they're all competing and they're all fighting with each other, you need to remember, who did I fight with yesterday, or was I friends with them the day before? And the evolution of intelligence, of social intelligence, is what then led to the evolution of language. Language wasn't what drove intelligence, rather the other way around. And so you wouldn't expect to see language in dinosaurs if they didn't live in these large, complex, and very intricate societies, which we believe that they didn't. So that language seems to be unique to humans, but it does seem to be something that arose out of the social complexity that our ancestors lived in.
Okay, well, let's talk about science fiction and the movies. Of course, they portray aliens in a totally different point of view. But what mistake do they make? What mistake does Hollywood make when they try to portray aliens on the TV screen and on the movie theater?
Well, I generally go quite lightly on science fiction. I don't think that it's helpful to criticize their visual portrayal of aliens, because, of course, we don't know what they look like, and as I said, I think that their appearance is going to be largely down to chance. Two key things about science fiction aliens. One is that they often show very human characteristics. And that, of course, is for entertainment and literary purposes. They want to show aliens being angry, aliens being aggressive, aliens being kind. All of these human properties, so they're a reflection of ourselves. And that may not be so unrealistic, because, of course, if they are highly complex social creatures that have developed a technology and a language, then they probably do have those same emotional and empathic abilities that our primate ancestors had as well. The one thing I think that science fiction does get wrong, and it gets wrong quite a lot, is that often they portray aliens with superpowers. And superpowers themselves are not necessarily problematic, but you always have to ask, not is this particular ability great or useful, but could it have evolved? Is it something that could have arisen through small steps from an earlier, simpler beginning? And quite often, a lot of alien superpowers like telekinesis or telepathy.
Okay, let's take a short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of a Zoologist's Guide to the Galaxy with Professor Eric Kirschenbaum of Cambridge University. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters in the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations and the internet which carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The CDC has relaxed some of its guidelines regarding social distancing in schools. On Friday, the CDC announced that it was changing its recommendation and that students should now keep 3 feet away from each other instead of the previously recommended 6, as long as those students are wearing masks. Former FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb says it's important that the social distancing recommendations are being revisited. He tells CNBC that as we learn more about how the virus was spread, It became clear that 6 feet wasn't as effective.
We implemented it early on based on an assumption that coronavirus was going to spread like influenza, and there had been some prior research that flu spread predominantly through droplets, and if you stayed 6 feet apart from people, it reduced droplet transmission. We've subsequently learned that COVID, coronavirus, is spreading through aerosols, not just droplets, so probably 6 feet isn't as effective as it would be if this was purely droplet transmission.
This is USA Radio News. A new poll shows there's a large amount of vaccine hesitancy among a particular political group. According to a recent PBS Marist poll, 41% of Republicans say they won't get a coronavirus vaccination. Hesitancy about the vaccine has steadily declined since the wide rollout of the shot, but there is still concern for officials over the number of people who say they'll refuse inoculation. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson says he's trying to confront it in his state. He tells ABC News that Arkansas has tried to be proactive in addressing concerns about the vaccine.
We're going through a comprehensive education campaign in Arkansas. Part of it is marketing. Part of it is using the medical professionals to talk about the safety of the vaccine and how important it is. And as the word gets out and as people see their neighbors, friends get vaccinated, the acceptance rate will increase.
This is USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And as I said before, I have a new book coming out in 2 weeks. The book is called The God Equation, The Quest for the Theory of Everything. So is there an equation, a theory, a paradigm that allows us to summarize all the physical laws of the universe? This book goes back 2,000 years, back to the Greeks that asked the question, what is the world made of anyway? And it was Pythagoras, the great Greek geometer, who said that the paradigm of the universe is not atoms. No, not atoms at all. It's music. And he worked out the laws of harmony mathematically, working out thirds, fifths, octaves, and said this must be the paradigm of the universe. Well, that never went anywhere because, of course, we had to discover the laws of chemistry and the laws of physics. But physics now gives us a new theory. It's controversial. Nobel Prize winners have split on this question and even feuded publicly. And the theory is string theory, which is actually what I do for a living. In a string theory, all the particles of the world are nothing but musical notes on a tiny, tiny vibrating string. That's why we have so many particles. And then what is physics? Physics is the laws of harmony that you can play on these vibrating strings. What is chemistry? Chemistry is the melodies, the complex melodies that you can play with the harmonies of physics. And what is the universe? The universe is a symphony of strings. And then what is the mind of God? The mind of God would be cosmic music resonating through hyperspace. That would be the mind of God. Well, anyway, to find out more about it, go to my website, mkaku.org, or you can pick up a copy of my latest book in 2 weeks. The book is called The God Equation, The Quest for the Theory of Everything. The quest for an equation perhaps no more than 1 inch long that will allow us to, quote, read the mind of God. Those are the words of Albert Einstein. Well, once again, today we have with us a zoologist talking about alien life in the universe. The book is called The Zoologist's Guide to the Galaxy. Now, if you watch Star Trek, you realize that all the aliens can have sex with all the other aliens. But first of all, when we talk about sex in outer space, isn't it true that alien civilizations will probably not even have the same DNA? In which case, they're not going to want to mate with us in the same way that we would not want to mate with a lobster, because the lobster and us, our DNA is quite different, and alien DNA would be even more different. So what are your thoughts about the fact that, well, why sex? Do you think alien civilizations will have sex? If so, maybe not one, two, but maybe more? What are your thoughts?
Well, sex is a bit of a mystery on Earth, to be honest. We still don't really know why sex exists. It has some obvious advantages and some obvious disadvantages, although the advantages are probably not the ones you're thinking of. But one thing that seems to be clear is that if there's no sex, so if all organisms are just reproducing asexually, so splitting into two like bacteria, then evolution will probably be quite slow. That the changes that arise will probably arise quite rarely and quite slowly. And in that case, you'd expect a planet with only asexual organisms on it to be bacteria, mostly. Very simple life on that planet. If we find a planet with complex life, with what we would consider to be animals and plants and a wide diversity of life, chances are they will have some kind of sex. Some way of mixing up that inherited information so that you don't just...
Okay, Eric, once again, we have to take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your new book, The Zoologist's Guide to the Galaxy. So once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations. The number to call is 612-564-8135. And maybe you can get on national radio with your question or a comment. So give us a call.
Want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again with us today is Professor Eric Kirschenbaum of Cambridge University in England. The book is called The Zoologist's Guide to the Galaxy, What Animals on Earth Reveal About Aliens and Ourselves. You know, when I watch science fiction, I sometimes cringe when I see the aliens all trying to make out with all the other aliens, even though they may be separated from each other by hundreds of light years and have no interaction with each other. But there they are, you know, with trying to flirt with each other. So what are your thoughts? You think that Hollywood basically is trying to project human-like instincts onto aliens, but the aliens themselves may not have the same DNA, and they may have absolutely no interest in mating with us. And, well, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that you've got to be fair on sci-fi, that its role is to portray human emotions, human failures, human weaknesses, and to portray it in an interesting and entertaining way. It does seem that the alien life will probably be based on a completely different biochemistry to ours. We think it's probable. There are some people who argue that DNA is actually genuinely unique, and that any alien life that does exist will be based on something similar. But even other animals on Earth have DNA, and we still can't mate with them. So I think that the sex is out of the question, I'm afraid.
So why do we have sex at all? Some people think maybe it speeds up evolution, which is a good thing. Other people think that it's just for fun. I mean, why do we have sex at all from a zoologist's point of view?
Yeah, there's still no clear answer on that. And although sex does seem to speed up evolution, that's not a reason to do it. It wouldn't evolve for that because, of course, evolution has no foresight. But there are other ideas about how sex can help us to remain diverse and stay resistant to parasites and things like that. But I think that some form of sex, some form of shuffling your inherited information, mixing your traits with other individuals, is really necessary if complex and diverse life is going to evolve on a planet.
Also, even on the planet Earth, we have insects, bees, for example, that have a queen bee with a totally different way of reproducing. So isn't it true that if we meet aliens from outer space, some of them may not have two sexes at all? Some of them may have like a hive social arrangement. But what are your thoughts?
Well, bees still have two sexes, but there are certainly organisms on Earth that have more. Fungi have many fungi have many sexes, tens or perhaps even hundreds of different sexes. So So it is certainly possible, and it's even quite likely. But it's worth observing that the idea of having two parents is obviously the simplest arrangement. And sometimes what turns out in life is actually what's the simplest.
Okay, now also I understand from your biography that you're part of the METI project, rather than the SETI project, which simply passively looks for signals from outer space of aliens talking to each other. The METI project tries to actually send messages into outer space, alerting the aliens that we exist. Now, some people, including Stephen Hawking, the late physicist, disagreed with that point of view, saying that we don't know what the intentions of the aliens are. Look what happened to Cortez and the Aztecs. That didn't go very well for the Aztec civilization. Cortez and his men had the horse, they had the gun, they had steel, and they had smallpox. And the Aztecs were totally unprepared for that, and their civilization crumbled within a matter of months. So what are your thoughts about some people who say that maybe we should not advertise our existence because we don't know what the aliens want? What are your thoughts?
Well, any alien civilization that we come across is likely to be way more advanced than us. Just from the perspective that we've only been sending messages into space for about 100 years. So if we receive any messages, chances are it's from a much more advanced, much older civilization than ours. But
okay, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station or website, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Eric Kirschenbaum, author of the book, The Zoologist's Guide to the Galaxy. And if you want to know more about this radio program, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have 4 million fans on Facebook. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. And the latest book coming out in 2 weeks is called The God Equation, The Quest for the Theory of Everything. Is there an equation, perhaps no more than 1 inch long, that would allow us to summarize all the laws of the universe? And what's the criterion? The criterion is A, it has to include Einstein's theory of relativity. B, it has to include the standard model of quantum mechanics. And 3, it has to be finite. That's it, folks. If you can do that, you will go down as the next Einstein. Think about that. But anyway, with us today is Professor Eric Kirschenbaum, author of a new book, The Zoologist's Guide to the Galaxy. So we're talking about alien civilizations in outer space. So, Eric, what are your thoughts about some people who say that it's not a good thing to advertise our existence to alien civilizations by shooting radio signals to them until we know whether they're peaceful or not? Maybe they're not peaceful. Maybe they'll consider us like Cortez looked at the Aztecs and plundered the Aztec civilization, causing it to collapse within a matter of months, because the technology of the Aztec was Bronze Age, while Cortez had steel, horses, gunpowder, and smallpox. What are your thoughts?
Well, we don't know of any technology that will allow us to cross interstellar space to other solar systems. So if any alien civilization were to come visit us, they would have to be wildly more advanced than we are. Far, far older, far more sophisticated. And then the question is, if they're that sophisticated, are they really interested in coming here and eating us? Do they really need our planet? Is this something, or is this just a projection of our own human history? There's a good reason to think that a lot of civilizations just aren't going to make it out of our phase. With all the climate change and with all the pollution and nuclear weapons, it's quite likely that we won't survive. And probably a lot of other civilizations didn't either. The ones that did, the ones that have gone on for millions and maybe tens of millions of years, they will not be out to conquer other planets. They'll already have solved those problems. They'll have ways of generating their own food and their own living room. So I think this is not something that we need to be seriously concerned about.
Well, if you're in a forest and you're a deer, what does the deer fear the most? Does the deer feel the hunter with a gigantic shotgun and wants to kill as many deer as he can? Or is it the man with the briefcase who is a developer who just wants to pave the forest over and the deer are just in the way? Now, if you read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the aliens were not evil. The aliens didn't want to hurt us. We just were in the way. And if you worlds, but the Martians did not hate humans. They had nothing against humans. We were just in the way, and we had to be removed. So even though you're right that maybe the aliens are so advanced that we're like deer, animals to them, what happens if we get in the way and they just pave us over and don't even think about it? What are your thoughts?
Well, there's an interesting phenomenon when you think about really highly advanced alien civilizations, is that you would expect to see them in the sky. You would. I can understand if there are isolated civilizations that can't travel between stars, and then they might be quite difficult to detect. But if really, like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, they are developing highways between the stars, we would see some sign of this in the universe, and we don't. So I think there's no real reason to believe that there are alien spaceships zipping around between all the stars and destroying what's in their path.
Well, my personal point of view, and this is just a personal point of view, is that if the aliens are that advanced, thousands, millions of years ahead, they probably already digitized their personality, and they are immortal. And they can put their digitized personality on a laser beam and shoot it into outer space at the speed of light. I call this laser porting, in which case consciousness can conquer the entire galaxy within just a matter of maybe 100,000 years by expanding at the speed of light. So it means that perhaps even in our neighborhood, there could be a highway, a laser highway carrying the souls, the digitized souls of billions of advanced aliens. And we are so stupid, we're so primitive that we don't even know it. That we assume that the aliens use radio, but I mean, that's a dinosaur technology. So we assume the aliens use radio, and we don't see radio signals out there, so maybe they don't exist. But maybe the aliens themselves have a totally different way of communicating by digitizing their consciousness, shooting it into outer space at the speed of light, and conquering the universe that way. So what are your thoughts about the fact that maybe they use a more sophisticated device than radio, and we're so stupid that we're stuck thinking that they only use radio, and since we don't pick up radio signals, maybe they don't exist? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'll counter that with another speculation. What if their way of colonizing the galaxy is not to send armies and souls and so on, but to seed all of these planets with the beginnings of life? So that all the planets in the galaxy end up being populated by essentially their descendants. That may well be the case as well, in which case we would be one of their protected species.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Once again, you've been listening with Eric Kirschenbaum. Thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Thank you.
And the book is called The Zoologist's Guide to the Galaxy, What Animals on Earth Reveal About Aliens and Ourselves. And again, also get a copy of my latest book coming out in a few weeks. The book is called The God Equation, The Quest for the Theory of Everything. Is there a unifying theme that summarizes the entire universe into an equation no more than 1 inch long, just like E equals MC squared, unlock the secret of the stars? So, to find out more, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or go to my Facebook site with 4 million fans.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.